God was true to his word. And everything that he said he would do for Solomon, he did. For God blessed him with riches and fame, and he had wisdom and knowledge. People came from all over to hear about Solomon. For Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Yes, God's blessing was upon Solomon. And for an example of his wisdom, one day there were two prostitutes that came in to the palace to see Solomon. I suppose most of you know that a prostitute is a woman who makes her business by going to bed with men. Well, these two prostitutes, because of their lifestyle, they gave birth to baby boys. Both of them had a baby, and the babies were born within 3 days of each other. Now, because of the crowded conditions in the land, these women, they lived in the same house. And one night before midnight, the one woman, as she was laying in bed with her baby, she didn't mean to do it. But somehow she turned over and she suffocated the baby. And the baby died. Oh, she felt awful to think that her baby had died. But at midnight, she got up. And when she got up at midnight, she took her dead baby and she laid the dead baby next to the mother who had the living baby. And she took the living baby. In the morning, when the other mother got up, she was horrified to think that her baby had died. But as she held the baby in her arms, she said, "This is not my baby. You took my baby." "No, I didn't." "Yes, you did. You switched babies. That's what you've done. You took my baby. I did not." So they argued about it. And back and forth they went. And finally they came into the palace. There was Solomon. And they told him the story. What had happened. And the one woman said that the living baby was hers. And the other woman said it was hers. Finally Solomon said to a servant, "You take the baby." So the woman gave the living baby to the servant. And then Solomon said, "Take a sword. And what I want you to do," said Solomon, "is I want you to cut the baby in half and give one half to the one woman and one half to the other." And the real mother said, "No, don't do that. Give her the baby, but let the baby live." And the other woman said, "Cut it in half. Give her half and I'll take half." And Solomon said to the servant, "You give that baby to the woman that wants the baby to live, for she's the real mother." Oh, listen, fellas and girls and men and women. God gave Solomon tremendous wisdom. And his wisdom spread. You see, the Bible says he was given breath of mind. You know, we need to use our minds. If God gave you a mind, then use it. And you know, today we're living in a society where people think that everything should come easy, but you know, you have to study if you want to learn things. And so we find that Solomon, oh, he was really a student, and he used his mind. He became an author. In fact, under divine inspiration, why, God allowed Solomon to write 3 of the books that we have in the Bible. And then besides that, he wrote over 5,000 proverbs, 3,000 proverbs rather. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, and he became a songwriter too. And he wrote 1,005 songs. But besides all that, he began to study animals. He loved the animals. He had a zoo. And not only that, he studied birds and insects. He studied the stars. Solomon was a real student. He used his mind. And he liked the trees and the flowers. And he was a man that liked a lot of landscaping. And he had a building program going on. And for his annual income, why, God blessed him that way too. For he had between $20 and $25 million to start with. Now, it's not the average college graduate's pay, but he started off with that, and as the time progressed, why, he was up to $60 million a year. God blessed him with riches. But you know something, fellows and girls and men and women? He used his riches for God. Yes, he gave unto the Lord. And he helped the people. Now, you know, oftentimes people poor mouth God. Do you know Christians who poor mouth God? I mean, God has blessed them in a tremendous, remarkable way, and they're always complaining about all the taxes that they have to pay or everything else that they have to pay, and they don't thank God for the things that they have. And besides, they don't use what they have for God. Oh, listen. If you got a job, thank God for the job that you have. If you've got a home and you've got money to spare, thank God for what he's given you and use it for the Lord. You see, there's nothing wrong with having things as long as God comes first in all the things that you have. And Solomon used his things for God, and he used his mind. I like that verse that's found in James where it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this or that." Now it's the last part of that portion that I like. "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, you shall live and do this or that." And my friends, what I want to ask you tonight, what is your this or that? Do something. You know, so many people, they don't use their minds. They don't use their money and their wealth for God. Oh, there's so many opportunities if we'll do something for God. God wants to use you. And Solomon, he was really well known for his building program. I suppose most of you know that he was most famous for building the temple. But when it came to building the temple, this was not Solomon's choice of plan. No, the directions were given to his father, David, and they were written down. Yes, God gave the directions to David, his father. And David collected many of the materials, but Solomon built this temple. There was a tremendous amount of gold in this building. Many people criticize Solomon because they say, "My, he took longer to build his own house than he did the temple." Well, I don't really think that's a fair criticism. Because you see, for the temple, David collected the materials. And if you know anything about a building program, well, to get the materials and everything together, that's the biggest part of the job. And when you got the materials together, then you can go. So it only took him 7.5 years to build this building. Now, Solomon built this building for God. For Solomon wanted a place for the ark to rest. Now, this morning, I told you that the ark was a piece of furniture designed by God that was the meeting place where God met his people. And David knew, and so did Solomon, that the building could not contain God. For Solomon said, why, even the heaven of the heavens couldn't contain God. This would be just like a resting place for God's foot. But you see, he built that temple and he wanted it for the Ark of the Covenant. Now outside was the brazen altar where they offered their sacrifices. when the building was finished and completed, and by the way, in the building program, there were both Jews and Gentiles who worked on it together. I like that. Because you know something, fellows and girls and men and women? God doesn't dwell in buildings anymore made with man's hands. God does not dwell in this building. No, he doesn't dwell in any other church building, in her tabernacle building. You know where God dwells today? God dwells inside of the believers. Oftentimes people say to me, what church do you go to? And I say, well, I'm the church, and I go to the Blaisdell Gospel Chapel. But you see, some people don't understand that. But you see, Solomon, he wanted this building for the ark. And he got both the Jews and the Gentiles to work with him. You know, in the true church, it's made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And in building the temple, there were the burden bearers, there were the hewers, and there were the overseers. Those three groups. And oh, we need those three groups as we build the church too. The true church. Well, outside was the brazen altar where they offered the sacrifices, and the ark then was brought in and put at its right place. Now, I don't understand why, but when the ark was brought in, God said that the cherubims needed to cover the ark. Why the ark needed to be covered, I really don't understand that. But as I was meditating upon it, I got a tremendous thought that I want to share with you. This is a brand new thought that I got because, you know, in Ezekiel chapter 28, it talks about Lucifer, who became Satan. That's the same person. And Lucifer, he was the covering cherub. He was to cover the holiness of God. Now, why God needed to have his holiness covered, I don't understand that, okay? But Satan, he didn't want that job. He wanted to be higher than God. And because he refused to do his job, he was cast out of heaven. Now, as I was thinking about that and thinking about this, all of a sudden the flash came right through my mind that, you know, the Kohathites, they were given the job to take care of the coverings for the tabernacle. Now, Mrs. Tilly today asked me about some of those coverings, and I can't give you all the meanings right now, but God had a purpose for the tabernacle to be covered as they carried it. But you know, Korah, who was a descendant of the Kohathites, he didn't want that job. He wanted to have the job of covering the tabernacle, but he didn't want it. And Moses said to him, is it a light thing, the job that you've got to do? And you know what happened to that man because he refused to do the covering job? The earth opened up and swallowed him and his family. Now look at my friends, I don't know how that grabs you, but that's powerful. When God asks for something to be covered and we don't want to do it, and we rebel, oh, we're in for trouble. And you know, some people don't understand why some of the ladies here wear something on their head. We call them coverings, see, or hats, or whatever you want to call them. But God has asked for that to be done so that man does not get the glory. I like that part because, you know, well, some of you fellows may not know this, but you know when God created the birds and the animals, it was the male animals and the male birds that got the glory. They got the beauty. They got the color. But when it came to the humans, God reversed the order. Now, as I say, some of you young fellows may not like that, but the older you get, the more you'll like it, you know? Now, and you know, the Bible says that the woman is the glory of the man, and she has a glory. And the glory that she has is her hair. Now, what she does with her glory, that's up to her. Some of it winds up in a waste paper basket or, well, whatever. But anyway, the hair is the glory that she has been given, the long hair. You may not know this either. Some of you young folks don't know this, but you know, there's lots of bald-headed women in this world, just like there are bald-headed men, but you don't know that because, you see, a woman, she knows that that's her glory, so she'll put a wig on. Now, people like me, you know, I have very wavy hair, one's waved goodbye to the other, a little faster than I like, but, you know, men, we don't worry about that like women do. You see, women will always fuss and fume over their glory. They know that that's their glory. You know, some time ago, I was at a place where I visited a woman who was 89 years of age. She just came out of the hospital. And as I came to visit her, she said to me, "Brother Stifler, what did you come today for? My hair looks like I'm 90. Now, I don't know how far she thought 90 was from 89, but you got the point? Even at 90 years of age, she knew that was her glory. The woman was made for the man. And because the woman was made for the man, she should have a veil on so that God gets the glory, not man. Now, you may not understand that, but that's God's word. And today, so many people who know that truth, they rebel. Now, if you don't know the truth, that's one thing. But once you understand the truth and you rebel, oh, how sad. But here, the ark was brought in, and the cherubims covered the ark. And then the song of the Lord began. Oh my, whenever God has given his rightful place, that's when the song begins. The song of the Lord began, and the Bible says that the glory of God filled the place. My, they hadn't seen the glory of God for over 130 years. The glory of God had departed. But now that God was given his rightful place, the song began and the glory of God filled it. I might share with you, fellows and girls and men and women, a number of years passed by again before the glory of God was seen. And that was during the time of Isaiah chapter 6, as we read about it, when King Uzziah died. And then there was another long stretch before we read about the glory of God again. Most of you know when that happened. Why, there were shepherds out in the field. And as they were taking care of their flocks by night, all of a sudden, the glory of God shone round about. And the angel said, "For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, that God might get his rightful place. The glory of God filled the place. And then Solomon, he got up on this brazen scaffold and he knelt down and began to pray. He spread his hands towards the heaven and he said, "Oh Lord, you are the God that created the heaven and the earth. And there is no God that can compare with you." He talked about the character of God. Then he talked about God's throne, that it's forever. And then he said, "Oh God, accept this place and put your name here so that we can meet with you." And when he finished that prayer, there was fire that came down from heaven. And that fire came down from heaven and it burnt up the sacrifice that was offered to the Lord. My, it was a tremendous day. It was a day of great rejoicing. In fact, and they're not rejoicing. Well, these people were. And Solomon, he went to his home. It was a great day. And once again, we read about the fact that the Lord appeared to Solomon. And the Lord said to Solomon that night, "Solomon, I have heard your prayer. And Solomon, I have chosen this place where you can sacrifice unto me, for I have placed my name here." Now, Solomon, when troubles come, when problems come, and I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or if there's pestilence that comes, and there's other problems that come, such as famine, because of your sin, If my people, said the Lord, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Solomon was dreaming, but it was the Lord who was speaking to him in that dream. And God made it very clear. If they would cry out, he would hear. And if they would ask for forgiveness of sins and look towards the house, the temple of God, God would forgive them and would heal their land. Fellows and girls and men and women, I'm sorry to tell you that didn't last too long. For you see, what happened is that the children of Israel did exactly what they did with the tabernacle. They turned to idolatry and they began to worship. They began to worship gods that had ears that couldn't hear and eyes that couldn't see. And so God cast the tabernacle out of his sight, just like he said to Solomon he would do. For he said, if they will turn to idolatry, I will cast it out of my sight. And that's why today, fellows and girls and men and women, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with man's hands. He doesn't dwell in this building, like I've already said. Today, where God dwells, is he dwells inside the lives of believers. I wonder tonight, can you say that God is dwelling inside of you? Do you know what it is to have the Lord in your life? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, then the Spirit of God is in you. And if you don't have the Spirit, then you're not one of his. Now, children in the front, I cannot put the black light on if you're going to fuss. Okay, eyes up front. And so we find that during that time, Solomon lived for God. All the people knew that. They knew that they could cry out to God at any time and God would hear. And because of the fact that this time of Solomon's life, at this time he was following God's ways, why, it spread throughout the world. You see, if you belong to the Lord and you live for God, people will begin to talk about you. You know, oftentimes when I travel, I come to a place and before I ever get there even, somebody will say, oh, wait till you meet so-and-so. You'll really enjoy them. They're going on for the Lord. I like to hear that. You see, and that's what happened with Solomon. His fame spread. People talked about Solomon and Solomon's God. And for miles and miles away, they heard the news. There was a woman. She was the queen of Sheba, who lived miles away. She lived in an idolatrous land, a land where they worshiped gods that had ears but couldn't hear. And when she heard about Solomon's God, she decided to get a large caravan and go and check it out for herself. Took a long time to travel those miles. And as she traveled, she finally came. My, she came with all kinds of questions, hard questions, but she was really amazed at his wisdom. Oh, it was like she had been told. And then, as she came, she brought a present. She brought a gift that would have been estimated at about $3 million. And she just dropped that at his feet and brought that present. And then she began to look around. Solomon showed her everything that he had. He answered her questions. And as she watched his servants, and as she saw all of the abundance of the things that he had, she said, my, the half was not told. This is far more than what they said. And I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that the half has not been told about the greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much in store for us. He's gone to prepare a home for us in heaven, and the Lord is doing great things. And if you belong to Him, oh, you'll find out that the half has not been told. Solomon was able to share with this woman the things that he had. But you know that woman that we talked about this morning that he married? He couldn't even bring her to the temple. Solomon was blessed in a tremendous way. He was blessed with fortune, with fame. He had power. He had pleasure of every kind. And above that, he had the blessing of the Lord. But like I shared with you, Solomon made some bad choices. For you see, Solomon, although he loved God, he didn't surrender to God everything. And his problem was women. Yes, he decided that he would make his own choice as to who he would have for a partner. He knew God, but God was not Lord of his life. And so you see, even though he had fortune and fame and power and pleasure, he wasn't satisfied. And he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, three problems. First of all, he said he had a problem with extravagance. Whatever his eyes saw, he bought, but it didn't satisfy. You know, like the new car you get. It really doesn't satisfy after a while, does it? Or the new washing machine, or whatever the thing might be. It doesn't satisfy. Now, my friends, there's nothing wrong with having things. We've already talked about that. But if God is not in the things, then there's something wrong with it. And you see, he found out that his things did not satisfy him because he was extravagant. And as we read in Ecclesiastes 2, the next problem that he had was boredom. He had everything that money could buy, but he was bored with life. And as you read that chapter, he says these words, I hate life! I hate it! You know, today I meet so many young people who are bored with life. His problem was that nothing satisfied him anymore. Nothing stimulated him anymore. As you young people would put it, I don't get jazzed about anything anymore. Oh, how sad. I want to tell you, my friends, there's none but Christ can satisfy. Solomon, he knew that, but he made the wrong choice. He had problems. And then the next thing that we read about in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is this, that he was disillusioned. In other words, it wasn't like he thought it was going to be. You know, there's many a person who becomes a top athlete, or they might become the top actor or the actress, and then they find out it's not like they thought it was going to be. For when the lights are off and the crowds are gone and there's no more applause or laughter, they're empty. And it's not like they thought. That's why today suicide is so high. Or even among young people, because they've been disillusioned. Solomon, his problem was women. They turned his thoughts and his mind from God. And oh, how sad, because he drifted slowly from the things of the Lord. He had everything going for him. God had blessed him. But God wasn't Lord of all. Now, I don't know what your problem is tonight, but you see, it could be business. It could be your business, or it could be sports, or it could be the car, or it could be jewelry. It could be anything! But nothing in this world will satisfy, my friends, but Christ. Tonight I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll never be satisfied. You can search and search, but Christ alone can satisfy the heart. Not only did he die to save you, my friend, but he lives to keep you. And he's got great things in store for those who trust in him. I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble still after you get saved. You will. But you've got someone you can bring those troubles to and will understand your every need, every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we just thank you for the word of God. And I pray tonight for the believers in this room that you'll speak to their lives. And Lord, we pray that each one of us will know what it is to make you Lord of our life. And then I pray for those in this room who have never come to know Christ as Savior. We pray if there's someone here tonight that would like to know Christ and be sure that they're saved, that they'll come up front and stay behind so we can pray with them and talk with them. And we ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.